Welcome, all my noble knights and ladies, to the, they want to say unofficial Talking Thrones, but shh, it's okay. We'll let them have that one, because this is actually the real Talking Thrones show. That's right. It's me, your host, Rob, with his two noble knights, Steve and Luke. And we're going to be breaking down everything about episode 3 of House of Dragon.
And a momentous day, too, because we are also now dealing with the death of a monarch today.
Today, right. And ironically, we're going to be going into a king lineage now, which is going to be insane. Like, that hasn't... Anyway.
That's a thing in the modern age.
So... you know, first of all, too, before we begin this episode, I want to throw some shout outs to my man Kareem, Stu, Cam from Jacked Up Movie Jacked Up Review Podcast. Hey, what's going on, guys? And thank you for watching.
Thank you.
So, what did we see in this episode? We saw Daemon trying to kill the crab beater, who was basically dug in on Bloodstone. We saw Sir Otto and his kin at odds on how easy it was going to be to make King Aegon king. Aegon II of his name, I should say, who is now the king's son. We saw a grand hunt in which they promised a white stag as a sign of Aegon's ascension to the throne. And we see Sir Criston Cole and Rhaenyra kind of have more of a bond as they basically run off together. And spoilers, too, that bond will break, everybody. Hate to tell you that, but Criston Cole is going to be one of Rhaenyra's biggest enemies. So it's going to be interesting how this dynamic plays out and to see how far Kingsguard goes to serve his princess, so to say. I have to say, when she kills that boar, guys, it makes her look like a badass. I mean, yeah, the king got the big stag, but it didn't look like he turned the thing inside out like Rhaenyra did with that boar coming into camp all blood-soaked. I mean, and then not to mention, she saw the white stag, which apparently in this story was meant that she was meant to rule. I also was a little wrong on my prediction because we thought the war was going to last maybe a little longer for the Stepstones, and I did not predict they were going to have Lenor Velaryon, who is the son of Rhaenys and Corlys, in the battle, and he was riding Sea Smoke. So everyone who wants to know what dragon that was Sea Smoke, and that was pretty cool.
Good tidbit, because a lot of people didn't know which dragon that was. They were like, "What dragon is that?"
Yeah, it's Sea Smoke, everybody. So if you didn't know what dragon that was Sea Smoke. I did not think they were going to get to him. So, and what's interesting about Lenor Velaryon, and we saw it in this episode too, is how Lionel Strong basically kind of announced, like, recommended, hey, maybe you should marry Rhaenyra to Lenor Velaryon, which, spoilers, everybody, does kind of happen, actually. But it's a Hollywood wedding. Let's just put it that way. It doesn't last too long. Ends in some deaths, too, and I'm not going to tell you who, but obviously you should guess it if you've read the book and are watching the show. Interesting about this episode, though, was, guys, is that none of this happened. None of this stuff really actually ever really happened in the book. Although I thought it was good, and this is something, you know, that's why I kind of presented this episode the way I did, is because we're going to be talking about basically what is the, you know, the face value of this episode. Since there is nothing really in the book, so to say, that is it's based on, we can go ahead and just base it off face value. So my overall opinion of the episode was it was cool. I mean, the end, we got to see Daemon, as I said, was going to be a badass, and you know, he didn't take out the crab feeder the way I thought, the way he did in the book, but it was still I thought it was a little anticlimactic, to be honest, but the whole dragging him through the surf was pretty cool.
It looked cool, but
it did look cool, but you know, I was hoping maybe for a little bit of like his neck, you know, up in the water, Steve, like, I can hold my breath for a long time. That's up to my man Gene. He'll know where that, he knows where that's from, right, Gene? Anyway. But yeah. So what did you think of the episode, Steve?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I wasn't really too high on this episode as much as the other one. I think
you weren't on the milk of the poppy.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was drinking too much of the milk of the poppy, I think, dude, because, bro, I was like, I liked it, right? It wasn't on the whole bad or anything. I think there was just too much on the nose things where we're now three. This is another time jump. Remember I said like the time
yes.
might be a problem. This is a 3-year time jump, but they're acting like it's still episode to episode. So it's like Rey is still kind of mad with Viserys. Like why after 3 years, she's still like, I can understand she still has problems with it. And she like kind of hints at it, but she's acting like for the show's purpose to,
right.
You know what I mean? Running off and doing stuff like that. I'm like, okay, well we've only seen 3 episodes thus far on this TV show of her doing this. And there really hasn't been too much of character development yet.
Interesting.
And the whole thing with the brown versus the white stag with Viserys killing the brown stag when they're like, oh, it's not brown, but he's a big guy.
He's a big fella.
And he doesn't kill it in one hit either. He takes like a couple of stabs at it awkwardly.
Like
what a king.
What a king, exactly. Right?
We keep seeing more and more evidence that like he doesn't seem he on the core he's not like inherently a bad king.
No, but like he just doesn't want to be king, you know? It's like he just doesn't
exude good qualities of the king. That like, you know, we're seeing more and more. And of course, for the story, it's like he's not going to get deposed. But like you get that feeling that if somebody really wanted to, they could. Like it's not, he is not hard to take down, even though he is not unpopular. He doesn't really... He does not exude the kind of...
This in the last episode and I'm sorry to, you know, throw you off your thoughts, Steve, was, you know, the small council, as you kind of see in this episode, really played more of a part of how they corrupt the king and everyone is in his ear to the point of sometimes where the small council rules what happens, not the king.
Yeah, it really does sort of demonstrate what Daemon is saying, is that like even like, you know, Daemon is still very much an asshole and he really is not working in the king's interest, but he is right that everyone in the small council also isn't working in his interest. They just, they're just doing whatever they want. If anything, that is the king's key strength for them, is that he is milquetoast enough that they can just do whatever they want.
And we saw that with Sir Otto talking to his brother. Remember when they were like, well, you know, look at our boy. He's looking more and more kingly every day, you know? And he's just like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? And then, like the last scene of that, Rob, is so great that you said that, because Hightower goes up to him and is like, yeah, you know, you have to do something by marrying off Rhaenyra's, and it's like, yeah, but she turned down Lannister, and he goes like, oh, what about Aegon? And he's just like, the boys too, or something like that. Like, you can see that Hightower is pushing his agenda hard
really interesting how much he is.
Like, way hard, dude. Like, he wouldn't do that if Viserys was a true hard king. He would be like, I'm not going to bring this to him. He would bring it to, like, I don't know, like, some of the other members in the High Council. But he goes right to the king and says, like, yeah, why don't you do that? Like, planting a seed. Because he knows, like, this guy isn't mentally strong enough to, like, deny what I did. You know what I mean? Like, he married my – he muted my – excuse me. He married off – my daughter to him, so why should, you know, he's gonna basically do as I say if I kind of pose it in an unthreatening manner, because he always lays down the groundwork. I don't know if you guys notice where he's just like, you are the king, you know, you're at the top. He always starts off everything like that. He's like, you are the king, you are my lead. Like, but what about doing this? You know what I mean? He's always doing something like that. And then every time the king's just like, why would you say that? Oh yeah, you know what, you're right. Yeah, it was a stupid idea, you know. But he's also kind of like stupid, you know, about it.
So overall, what did you think of the episode, Luke? Did you like it? I mean, did you think it was story flows so far?
Yeah, I think it's we're setting up cool stuff. Interested that they, again, the 3-year jump, because obviously we know that the adult actors are coming in at some point. So obviously this is going to skip. We know we have even more time we're going to skip as well. And so I'm curious how much they're going to cover based off the totality of the book. One thing I did No, it should always be noted is that the book itself, the Dance with Dragons,
mm-hmm.
the actual book is, you know, it's an overview of the story. So
right.
obviously there's a lot they can fill in the blanks. And the
yeah, form exactly.
And the form of narration is also done as kind of half remembered. So in the mm-hmm. book, and
it's like historical.
Probably, and George R. R. Martin probably did this intentionally, that the book was blank and in many cases biased, so that he clearly did it with adaptation in mind, either to a larger series or a TV show. So that way, like whatever he wrote in there, he could very well contradict what he writes there, because it's like, oh yeah, this was half remembered, so everything in this might even be wrong.
Well, that's why he puts it as like a maester wrote it. Certain maester, you're reading this from Maester Gildane or something.
And
like
so it's
that.
Like, so whatever he says, it could all come up, but it's all different. I think, yeah, like we said, the thing that's interesting is we're really showing the contract here with Viserys. Yeah, Viserys, he is still kind of feckless, and he's getting a little bit more feckless as it comes on. You know, everyone is kind of behind his back. They do whatever they want. And they're even, again, they're treating his son as heir as a given. Even though he is saying that, like, no, I named my daughter heir. Like, those are my orders, and they're, you know, and they kind of don't treat it that way. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's interesting that you talk about the overview of everything. Cause in the overview, you know, after he does that, I mean, they don't really plot so much against him until he actually gets, like, you know, senile and old and everything like that. Yeah. But it's also, it's interesting too. How they're playing Allison as like this kind of really caring, just trying to do her duty. But in the backdrop, she's listening to Otto at the same time.
Yeah.
Because
Allison is
going to be bad later. Yeah. I'm telling you.
And Allison is so funny in this too, when she's talking to Rhaenyra. She's just trying to still be friendly. It's such a toxic female friend, kind of just like, well, listen, I know I married your dad. And right. I know I might be stealing your throne, but why can't you be happy for me? You know?
Yeah. I know, Luke. It's just like, listen.
It's
I
like,
know
Allison,
that
can you
really
please,
bad.
Allison, read the fucking room right now.
Right.
Like, Rhaenyra does not want to talk to you. You should learn to take a hint.
Yeah. They really do play that. And I said that in the last episode too. And it's in the book too. Like you were saying, the overview is that they really didn't know each other. It just says in the book that they were friendly at court. That was all. They knew of each other. So this whole, like, interpretation that they are buddy-buddy now, actually, I think, is really playing off well.
And it's much more interesting, too.
Yeah.
Because clearly at some point they're going to get real nasty with each other.
Oh, it does. It does get bad.
I would say the biggest disappointment is so even though the fight is really good, it's a great fight, I still continuously get impressed with the dragons in this, the use of the dragons. It really shows the weight of these creatures on the Targaryen side. It's like, not only are the Targaryens there by blood, so everybody respects them, they have these like nuclear weapons out of them. So it's like, it's impossible to be against them. Like, you can't, like, even if you're like, you know what, I'm not gonna, I want to go off on my own, it's like, you will die. You will you could have 10,000 men charge and try to get, the dragon will destroy you. It doesn't care.
See, that's what makes Viserys such an interesting character too, because he states the same thing. He says, well, Rhaenyra even says, why don't you send us? We're dragon riders. He's like, no. We can't do that. And then he says the same thing to the Lannister guy when he's like, I will marry Rhaenyra. And he's like, do you have dragons? And he's like, well, no. And he's like, oh, well, you know, whatever then. You don't have dragons.
Yeah. He's like, he says something too, like, Casterly Rock will build
it's a good seat.
A dragon pit. And then Rhaenyra is like, why do you need a dragon pit? And he's just like, oh, because
dragon.
Take you home.
He's like, I want a dragon. Everybody wants a fucking
dragon. Hey, please.
Well, as Obrella Martell once said, you know, the Dorne didn't come to heel until the Targaryens brought dragons to actually ride for them. So exactly. They got to ride, and by that they meant dragons in bed. They meant ride the Targaryens.
The thing that disappointed me is, like, we didn't get a lot with Crab Feeder.
Right.
Yeah.
He basically got no dialogue.
No dialogue.
He wasn't even really a character.
He just does that, like.
Yeah. He's just, you know, and it's like, it was a shame because characters are going to die. That's going to happen. That's whatever. At least, you know, it would be more interesting to have a character die. But that wasn't. Crab Eater wasn't a character. He was just like a plot device,
which was weird because the war is already over. It seems like, which I think they're going to push more of a. It's pretty much done.
Is it done now? Because like I know that he.
Well, yeah, because he kills Crab Eater, and that's pretty much
the preview
done.
Of the fourth episode stated pretty clearly that like Daemon's going to declare himself king of the South.
King of the Narrow Sea. He declared himself King of the Stepstones. And in the book, that's because his men declare it for him. And me and Steve were talking about in the last episode, nobody wants the Stepstones. They're basically what a famous Bolton once said, a bunch of shit-stained rocks like the Ironborn Islands are. They're basically nothing. They're pirate
ridden. Yeah, they're just like a bunch of dead islands.
Pirate havens.
But of course, it's what's the word? But you have to keep in control for trade routes. But otherwise, it's not. Yeah.
But this is what's going to come an interesting dynamic because we've talked about how much Daemon cares about his brother and doesn't want to defy his brother. But now, and I even said too in the book, he steps to his brother and kneels before him and presents his crown to him, you know, as to say like, you know, I still love you, even though I'm king of the Narrow Sea. We didn't see that in the intro, but it seems like he's going to be more of an antagonist now that my men are calling me, you know, king of the Narrow Sea, king of the Stepstones. What are you, you know?
It's clearly a situation where it's like he's going to try to get the king to legitimize that because it would be too much effort probably for King Viserys to like push even further, especially now that. There are trained men and dragons down there. Then to push it even further would make the country go into a large scale war, which would be bad. But it's also like so Daemon is essentially giving him where the easy option is to just simply declare him king of the Narrow Sea. Or work out some type of deal where it's like he has authority over that area, but still comes to heel to the king, which again is still just kind of chipping away at his power. So
all right, so predictions for this next episode, and like I'm actually gonna be well, Steve, you were shaking your head a little bit. I want to get back. I just want to hear. Did you really hate the episode that much?
I didn't hate it. I just had a lot of problems with it. A lot of like ham-fisted thing. I think the stag thing kind of bothers me, dude. When she saw
that
the
Rhaenyra's
meant to
rule.
Yeah, I'm just.
That's
like,
kind of really placating to the audience. Like, yeah, this is going to stick it more when you know it happens.
Yeah, like, you get what we're getting at? Like, she's going to rule. It's just like, we get it. You don't need to go too ham-fisted with it.
I get you.
The little whining. I think the indecisive nature of, like, where to kind of go. And then, like, I love the Daemon thing with the drag. That was, like, that's some of the best things I've seen in Thrones. Let's just be honest. For me, at least. That was
I'm gonna feed you to your own crabs.
Yeah, that was so cool, dude. It's also kind of
my
funny
friend
how
save me.
Yeah, like they were saying, like, we're losing the war. The only thing I'm like, okay, well, he had a dragon. Why not just stick the dragon's head in the hole
and just
hiding it?
Right. I thought
blow
the same
them
thing.
Away. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, it worked, I guess, in the end, but I would still say it's a solid episode. Just a little bit of nitpicking there.
And, like, a lot of people, too, thought Daemon's, like, the way he surrendered and all that was, like, you know, I don't know, some people didn't like it. I was like, that's Daemon. I knew he was going to do that from the start. As soon as Viserys, and which I would like to point out, too, Viserys tried to steal that victory. He tried to swoop in. He was going to, like, a hawk And Tay, he's like, he even wrote to the app message in Damon. He was like, make sure, you know, he's like, yeah, first of all, he probably pissed him off when he's like, this is from your brother, you know, King of the Andals, the first dude, man. He gave him the whole, all the titles. Yeah. And then, you know, he's like, I'm coming here to help you, Damon, and all this. He's like, so we can both get that victory that we've been so trying to get. And it's like, dude, what the fuck? You were the one that was like, fuck you, Damon. Go ahead and do it yourself.
Do it yourself. And then, yeah, that's I think that was like the highlight for me, too. Because, like,
yeah, I love when Damon
killed
the mess. He just like,
yeah, he just takes a long, yeah, Rob, he's just like,
long look. Like, and it's all silent, too. That's why I like to. And just silences him beating this guy,
beating
the messenger. Goes down there without the white flag and just kills him. That was Damon. That's, I knew that. I was like, that's how Damon is.
He's a heel. If this was wrestling, he's a heel.
He's a heel.
Dude that you want to cheer for, but he's doing things where he's not like, it's like, look, I'm in it to win by any means necessary and get my brother's acknowledgement while my brother is over here going like, oh, I don't know. Should I do this? Is this not going to please
somebody?
Should
I name Rhaenyra? Should I name Aegon?
And then he's going to her. Well, I wavered like one time. Okay. Yes. I had some second thoughts.
Yeah.
One time kind of thing. And she's just like, looking at him
one time.
That's a loser.
Yeah.
So I'm going to actually give some dire predictions though, for the next episode from what I've seen. And this is just mine off of what I've, of course, read in the books and what I've just seen in the trailer. My biggest disappointment is coming, and there's two of them. One is just a little nitpicky because I'm such a big book nerd with Thrones, and that is Daemon being a huge more antagonist. I hope it plays out well, but it does bother me that they're going to try and make him almost the main villain of this whole thing. It just seems like they're kind of pushing him to be almost that main villain where it's going to be like, oh, you're gonna have to choose between Daemon and Viserys. What's right and what's this, you know? So that's the other one. But then it seems like they're going to be talking about the prophecy again, which I'm like, why are we discussing ice and fire? And it even says in the damn fucking prologue, 200 years before the events of, you know, Robert Baratheon. And it's like, all right, well, why does it matter if it's 200 years?
Don't go down that.
I don't know anyone that lives that long.
Fantasy, have they not learned that fantasy stories on television and prophecies do not mix in any orifices?
And I want to go back to something Luke was saying about George R. Martin. And this is why I'm also a little disappointed, and this is one of my critiques of the show, but also I want to see where this is going to happen, is I'm really disappointed at the lack of how they want to create you to like Rhaenyra a lot, because they're not showing her ambition. Like, this whole, like, oh, you know, I want him to recognize. She always did want to be king, and she was, like, almost like Cersei, like a light version of Cersei, especially when she gets older. But they kind of cut that ambition out a little bit to where it's more of, like, from signs, and it's like, you know, I want this. Oh, I think I'm starting to really, like, feel like I should be the rightful queen. And then in the beginning, she was like, I don't care if he has a son. I want him to have a son. But now it's more or less like, they chose me, this and that. I like that, but I just think it needs to be stronger, because as George R. Martin does in all his books, and this is what I was getting to with Luke, is he does not give you two hero characters. He will never give you two heroes. He will, and in fact, he always makes you choose between sometimes two villains. The villain you got to choose, and that's what kind of Game of Thrones was to begin with. You picked the house you rooted for, and that was kind of, if you saw him through the end, you saw him through the end. You know, not everyone likes the Boltons, but the Boltons survived for a while in Thrones.
And they had people, and that's such that's a really good point, Rob. I don't think anybody's making that point of, like, the whole synergy of Game of Thrones was a game of houses. It was a game of the throne of these different houses. Now we're just under one house dealing with family drama.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, family drama going over here, going over there. What's this person doing? So it's very hard to do it. And you're looking at the same characters too.
Right.
Like, so long. You know what I mean? Like, Game of Thrones would be like,
you're forgetting that. John.
Now it's all about, you know, like Tyrion or something like that. So now I don't know what they can do. I mean, I'm still liking the show. I feel like it does have a lot. It's got strong roots. But yeah, man, if they go with the prophecy is the biggest thing. They really cannot do that.
Stay away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Luke. You got any last thoughts, Luke?
No. Just so now that I know, based off of the actual story and the timeline of it, like, Now I'm just curious what, you know, how, what section of the story they're going to do for season one, what's going to be season two, and if anything
right
after the book will carry on for additional seasons. Because I feel that, like, if they keep up this quality, this show will probably go for, you know, go for five seasons.
Well, that's exactly how they want it to go. Five seasons.
Five seasons?
Mm-hmm. Five seasons.
You guys think so with that. the pace with all the jumping?
It's jumping fast. It's that's jumping, why I'm, yeah, that's
I think really... My suspicion is that, like, the full-on war, like, that's going to take a huge bulk, maybe of multiple seasons. I don't know, but possibly. I think that'll probably be the case. I'm curious, the one future plot point that just is really driving me is that...
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. It's the fact that, and spoilers for people... but again, this is just common knowledge, so it will happen. So just get so you as an audience member also need to get ready for this. For who's listening, is that Rhaenyra and Daemon are going to marry?
Yes,
they're not only are they going to marry, they are going to produce at least five children. So you know they are going to fuck five. They don't have to show that. They don't have to show an uncle fucking his niece.
You know they will.
Yeah,
it's Game of
but
Thrones.
It's like that is going. Unless they do some sort of, like, alt history, something that, like, completely circumvents it somehow, I don't know, that's going to happen. That's going to be a key driving force in later seasons, or it could very well, if it were to happen in this season, it'll probably happen at the tail end and then set up us for season two. That's a tough, it's tougher than even the Lannisters, Jaime and Cersei.
Right, because you came in on it. It was already going on. It didn't develop.
And also with Cersei, she was explicitly always the bad guy. She was never written sympathetic. We're dealing with two characters that are not just protagonists. They may be the protagonists for the rest of the series. They may be the central focus unless the series spreads out, becomes a little bit more ensemble-based. Right now, the story is really about Rhaenyra and Daemon. And then, of course, Viserys as a third main. But that's what we have right now. That's going to be a weird thing to occur. I mean, something we don't necessarily have to worry about now. It's going to happen. I'm curious how the writers are going to handle that. Because that's not going to go away. That's going to be a part of the series. It's already uncomfortable with Viserys and Alicent, but the writers and the whole tone of the show has a vibe where, like, that's still kind of weird anyway.
Yeah.
And in character, most characters don't think it was a good idea either. Besides, of course, the Hightower, family. But, like, yeah, it's like even our main characters, you're supposed to give it the idea that, like, what he did was stupid.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Baby, I mean that's Thrones. They were like he was almost gonna marry a 12-year-old. So the only thing I want, dude,
like Lionel Strong. He's like, she will mature.
I know, bro. When he was just like, listen,
like his face was like,
she's 12. Wait till she's 14, then she's ready.
She's like 14. Anyway. Yeah. Let's get to the score of this episode. I'm going to go ahead and give this overall episode. And, you know, I hate to say it. I would actually kind of give this one a lower score, but because I thought the scene was so good, I'm going to give this one a 7.5. That's what I'm going to give this episode. That's low so far. Luke, what would you give this episode?
I'm going to give it about 7.
So a good 7 over.
It's not a particularly standout episode, but the fight scene was good. So we'll see.
All right, our audience. So from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, this is the unofficial Talking Thrones podcast with your host Rob and Steve and Luke saying goodbye to you, and we'll catch you on the flip side of Westeros. So make sure you stay tuned for more episodes of Real Sharks. Listen, like, and subscribe wherever podcasts are found, and make sure you check out Jagged Tooth Media for all our shirts and merchandise to help support the show. Have a great night, everybody.